Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. A Spring Arbor man has died following a motorcycle crash Monday morning in Concord. Jackson County Sheriff's Office says deputies responded about 6:40 to a crash involving a motorcycle and an SUV on M60 near Main Street in the village of Concord. Investigators say a GMC Terrain was pulling out of the Citgo station and turning east onto M60 when it was struck by a westbound motorcycle. The impact occurred on the vehicle's left rear side. The motorcycle rider, identified as 34-year-old Jason Baker of Spring Arbor, was thrown from the bike and suffered critical injuries. He was transported to Henry Ford Health Jackson, where he later died. Authorities say Baker was wearing a helmet. Preliminary findings indicate speed may have been a factor. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office crash reconstruction team continues to investigate. Jackson County judge has delayed a decision in the case of a Jackson woman charged in the death of her infant daughter. 30-year-old Larissa Vanover faces charges of involuntary manslaughter and second-degree child abuse following the death of 3-year-old Novella Erickson in November of last year. District Judge Robert Gakey was expected to decide Monday whether the case would move to circuit court for trial or be dismissed. Instead, he postponed his ruling, saying he needs more time to review the evidence presented during the preliminary examination. New hearing has been scheduled for June 29th. Testimony indicated the infant died from compression asphyxiation while sleeping with an adult. Prosecutors also presented evidence involving the death of another infant child of Vanover in 2021, which was also ruled an accidental asphyxiation. Former FBI agent pleaded guilty to defrauding investors involved in a foreign currency trading scheme. According to the Department of Justice, this is Jeffrey Royer's second federal prosecution. He was released in 2012 in connection with racketeering and fraud conspiracy charges, along with witness tampering. Royer pleaded guilty to a wire fraud charge while also admitting to defrauding multiple third-party investors, then using some of the funds for his own personal expenses. Part of his plea agreement includes paying restitution of nearly $600,000 to his victims. Sentencing is scheduled in September. Tragedy on the water, and how a man has died while taking part in a dive to a Lake Huron shipwreck. This story comes our way from Michigan News Network's Beth Fisher.
The 62-year-old man was taking part in a dive near the Cedarville shipwreck site in northern Lake Huron on Friday morning when he experienced an emergency during the scheduled dive. The diver had several other experienced divers with him, and they began life-saving efforts and assisted emergency responders when they returned to the surface. Despite those efforts, the man from Sylvania, Ohio, was pronounced dead. The Sheboygan County Sheriff's Office says investigators do not believe that diving equipment malfunctioned or that charter service operations were factors in the incident. The investigation continues. Beth Fisher, Michigan News Network.
Hazel Park police say a deadly after-prom party shooting appears to have been a case of self-defense.
Detectives say a 20-year-old Detroit man was shot and killed early Friday morning on Powell Street after he allegedly pulled a gun and robbed another person of their watch. Police say a bystander with a valid permit to carry a firearm witnessed the robbery and shot the 20-year-old. A 19-year-old Pontiac woman was also wounded in the crossfire. After corroborating the story with witnesses, the shooter was released from custody while the investigation continues. Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
Proposed large-scale solar development in Hillsdale County has been rejected by local officials. The Fayette Township Planning Commission voted Monday night to deny a special use permit for the Heartwood Solar 2 project, which would have placed solar panels on roughly 1,000 acres east of Jonesville. Commissioners cited concerns including the loss of farmland, impacts on local roads and school bus routes, property values, tree removal, and questions surrounding solar panel disposal, waterway protection, and future site decommissioning. The vote followed months of public opposition from residents who said the project would alter the rural character of the community. The decision was met with applause from a crowd gathered at Jonesville High School. The developer, Ranger Power, says it is reviewing its options. Under Michigan law, large renewable energy projects may still seek approval through the state even after a local denial. The RX Kids program officially launched Monday in Jackson with a special announcement at the Jackson School of the Arts. The program provides direct financial support to expecting parents and families with newborns in the city of Jackson and Blackman Township. The program is designed to help families manage the rising costs of pregnancy and early childhood expenses, including necessities such as diapers, food, housing, and utilities. The Jackson Community Foundation says local donors fully funded the community's required contribution of more than $313,000 annually for the next 3 years within just 6 weeks of the program's announcement, helping secure approximately $2.5 million each year for local families. Supporters say the program strengthens financial stability during a critical time for parents and keeps dollars circulating in the local economy. Northwest Community Schools has announced Josh Burgett as its new director of athletics. Burgett joins the district with coaching and leadership experience, most recently serving as head coach of the Napoleon High School softball program. The Northwest Community School Facebook page says Josh brings extensive leadership experience. They'll be an asset to our school district and community and is passionate about the important role athletics play in helping students develop teamwork, leadership, perseverance, school pride, and sense of belonging. District leaders believe his experience and vision will help strengthen athletic programs while expanding opportunities for student athletes across Northwest schools. Burgett will oversee the district's athletic programs and work with coaches, students, and families. This week is NASCAR race weekend out at Michigan International Speedway. MIS track president Joe Fowler said that while the first race begins on Friday, preparations and excitement are already happening in the Irish Hills.
Yeah, we're right around the corner. In fact, you know, campers start to load in on Monday. They get here a week early in some cases. So it's go time for us, but we couldn't be more excited. A triple header weekend, just like we did last year, in fact, with the ARCA Menards series on Friday the 6th. We have the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series back, which is a really, really popular series. And I don't know if you saw the news, but Cletus McFarland announced that he's going to run in that race on Saturday. So that's a big one with our partners at DTUS and Precision Vehicle Logistics. And then Sunday being the big show that everybody's looking forward to, the Firekeepers Casino 400, the NASCAR Cup Series. And this is what we work for all year long. And like I said, it's go time. The property's getting ready. Everybody's excited. There's a buzz in the community. It's here and we're ready.
There are plenty of festivities taking place throughout the weekend beyond the races, including infield concerts.
All 3 days, you'll have our fan zone open, and you will see, you know, DJs and activations with some of our OE partners. Firekeepers will be out there doing giveaways and promotions. There's a lot to see and do. And, you know, if you're in the infield on Saturday, actually Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we'll have an infield concert. There's just a lot going on. And something that's new this year, and I think most people probably don't know, is on Saturday after the truck race, there will be Cup qualifying and practice. So that's new. Usually that happens, you know, earlier in the day or even sometimes on Friday. So there's stuff going on all the time.
There's also a 21 and older meet and greet with driver Denny Hamlin at Firekeepers Casino on Saturday from 12:15 to 1:45 on Saturday. There's also a meet and greet with driver Austin Cindric at the Discount Tire in Brooklyn at 10 a.m. Joe also commented on the recent extension of Firekeepers as the naming rights partner for the Cup Series race at MIS.
Well, it's a multi-year, and this will actually be year 11. It's become a staple in the sport. And I'll tell you, it's a little thing, but in our industry, you know, we tend to get caught up in talking about, you know, Daytona and going to Phoenix and going to Nashville and places. And when it comes to Michigan, often people are, you know, it's the Firekeepers race. They've built this equity in the brand, and it's a great partnership. They're amazing people to work with, and to be able to continue the Firekeepers Casino 400 for years to come is a blessing for everybody. I know our fans are excited too, and couldn't be happier.
Tickets for race weekend out at Michigan International Speedway can be found by visiting mispeedway.com. Smoke detector installation blitz took place in the city of Jackson last week with the Jackson Fire Department and partners installing over 200 smoke and carbon monoxide detectors in homes across city neighborhoods. WKHM's Luke Moorhead has the story. Last week, the Jackson Fire Department, in partnership with the American Red Cross and MI Prevention, conducted a smoke detector blitz, installing over 200 smoke and carbon monoxide detectors in homes across city neighborhoods. JFD officials say the initiative was launched in response to the tragic fatal fire in February to commit to prevention and risk reduction. Firefighters acted to help prevent future tragedies by ensuring more families have early warning protection against fire and carbon monoxide emergencies. The blitz was successful in meeting all requests because of generous donations from Alro Steel, R.W. Mercer, Emmons Service, and Kristoff & Sons Floor Covering. Their support helped firefighters buy and install detectors in any home that needed them, so the department could help everyone who asked. Those who need working alarms or want to learn more about fire safety can contact the JFD at 517-788-4150. I'm Luke Moorhead reporting with WKHM.
Drivers in Grass Lake Township should be aware of a road closure beginning tomorrow. The Jackson County Department of Transportation says Mount Hope Road will be closed between Reithmiller and Hoffman Roads for a culvert replacement project. The closure starts June 3rd and is expected to last through the end of the day, weather permitting. No detour route will be posted, so motorists are encouraged to plan ahead and use alternate roads to avoid delays. For updates, contact the Jackson County Department of Transportation or visit their website and social media pages. You may not notice it yet, but your energy bill is quietly getting more expensive.
Both DTE and consumers have kicked in their summer rates just in time for your AC to start getting that summer workout. For consumers, the peak hour is now between 2 and 7 p.m. For DTE, it's between 3 and 7 p.m. Higher rates stick around until September 30th. DTE has about a 27% increase during those hours. Consumers up about 22%. During the weekday only, they don't increase them during the weekend. How nice. Some ideas to mitigate the increase. They say do your laundry on the weekend. Set the thermostat so your air isn't running as much during those peak times. Run the dishwasher at night and refresh your furnace filter. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
75 Fifth Third and Comerica Bank branches are expected to close in Michigan. This comes as part of Fifth Third's acquisition of Comerica. As part of the closures, employees are expected to be moved as branches are consolidated. Officials say the locations will close after Labor Day weekend. Car crashes remain the leading cause of death for young drivers, and a local law firm is sharing life-saving tips to curb summer accidents. Michigan Auto Law says the period between Memorial Day and Labor Day is the most dangerous time of year for teens behind the wheel. They're advising young drivers to stay alert and avoid cell phones, noting that texting makes a crash 23 times more likely. Experts say the best way to prevent a tragedy is to emphasize the basics. Slow down, stay sober, and always wear a seatbelt. Spirit Airlines bankruptcy means Detroit Metro Airport's losing a $26 million partner, but airport officials say they will survive as other airlines pick up the slack.
Detroit Metro Airport officials say they expect zero financial losses despite the sudden exit of Spirit Airlines. Spirit paid the airport authority $26 million last year in rent and landing fees. However, officials say passenger volumes are simply shifting to remaining carriers like Delta and Frontier, keeping lucrative passenger facility fees steady. According to the Detroit News, Frontier Airlines has formally requested access to Spirit's six former gates at Evans Terminal. The airport authority says it will also adjust its mid-year budget by cutting expenses and raising rates on surviving airlines to maintain total financial stability. Greg Bowman for the Michigan News Network.
Michigan's $5 billion sport fishing industry is clashing with a bird that dates back to the dinosaur age.
It's disgusting.
That's Mike Barnhart. He lives along Lake St. Clair, and he says the cormorant is a conservation success story that's gotten way out of hand.
They killed this whole area. Nothing else can survive here. Turtles, frogs, ducks, nothing nests here.
Almost wiped out in the 70s due to the pesticide DDT, they're now making a comeback, and many say creating a hellscape of local wetlands, gobbling up massive amounts of fish and stinking up the entire neighborhood.
H.R. 8195, the Responsible Cormorant Management and Control Act of 2026, sponsored by Representative Wahlberg of Michigan.
New legislation introduced by Michigan Congressman Tim Wahlberg aims at making it easier for the state to control the birds' numbers and do away with the current cumbersome bureaucracy at the federal level. Tim Pamplin for the Michigan News Network.
Have you ever wondered why we call our national bird bald? More people are seeing eagles, with officials saying there are hundreds of nesting pairs across Michigan from Detroit to Copper Harbor. As the population grows, interest in the birds increases too. The birds are clearly not bald, however, so why do we call them that? DNR non-game bird biologist Karen Cleveland says the name comes from an old English word.
They are clearly not a bald bird. And you say, then how the heck did they become named bald? And that's because there is an older version in English of the word white, which is B-A-L-D-E, bald. And so that white head and that white tail, it means bald, but it doesn't mean the bald we think it means.
Eagles don't get those distinctive white heads until they mature at 4 or 5 years old. They typically live to be at least 30 years old in the wild, and they mate for life. In a world dominated by digital signatures and complex contracts, a new study reveals that three Michigan communities are keeping old school business traditions alive. Michigan News Network's Dan Jenkins.
A national survey of over 3,000 small business owners by the Advanced Funds Network identified Cadillac, Traverse City, and Marquette among America's top handshake economies. In Cadillac, locals say a handshake is a practical, no-nonsense promise to stand behind hard work. Up in Marquette, the harsh environment of Lake Superior rewards dependability and business owners who show up in bad weather. Meanwhile, Traverse City's local trade and tourism networks rely heavily on a business owner's good name. For those three communities, a person's local reputation remains a powerful form of currency. Dan Jenkins for the Michigan News Network.
Love closing a deal with a good, firm handshake. It's Tuesday, and it's the second day of June. Today, we celebrate American Indian Citizenship Day. It's National Bubba Day. Oh, Bubba. National I Love My Dentist Day and National Rotisserie Chicken Day. I love my rotisserie chicken. There's a handful of places around here that have really good rotisserie chicken. I guess it's kind of like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's still kind of good. The best one, though. If we had to rate our rotisserie chickens, the best ones at Polly's. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. It was on this date in 1851, Maine became the first U.S. state to enact a law prohibiting alcohol. On this date, 1886, Grover Cleveland became the first U.S. president to get married while in office. On this date in 1935, Babe Ruth announced that he was retiring from baseball. On this date in 1941, Lou Gehrig died in New York of the degenerative disease, which now bears his name. Was on this date in 1953, Elizabeth II was crowned Queen of England at Westminster Abbey. On this date in 1979, Pope John Paul II arrived in his native Poland on the first visit by a pope to a communist country. On this date in 1998, voters in California passed Proposition 227. The act abolished the state's 30-year-old bilingual education program by requiring that all children be taught in English. It's on this date in 2012. Richard Dawson, the original host of Family Feud, died at the age of 79. Just wonder what that number is of how many people he kissed during his tour as a host of that show. On this date in 2022, the jury in a defamation case brought by Johnny Depp against ex-wife Amber Heard awarded Depp $15 million in damages and compensation and Heard $2 million in damages in Fairfax, Virginia. Birthdays today include Jeremy Ray Taylor is 23, actor, It, Senior Year, Madison Hugh, actress from Bizardvark. Brittany O'Grady is 30, actress from The White Lotus, also from Star. Ethan Slater, Wicked, 34 today. Awkwafina is 38, actress, Ocean's 8, Crazy Rich Asians, and The Farewell. Marina Baccarin has a birthday today, 47. Let's list them off here. Firefly, Gotham, Homeland, Deadpool. They missed, but I didn't. They missed the V reboot. Justin Long is 48, actor, He's just not that into you. And barbarian. Dominic Cooper from Mamma Mia is 48 today. Zachary Quinto is 49, actor from Star Trek. Well, now hold on a second. Nosferatu, don't forget that one. And it was the first season of American Horror Story. He was in that too. Wayne Brady has a birthday today. From Whose Line Is It Anyway? The Wayne Brady Show. And Paula Kael from Providence, 56 today. Actress. Gary Grimes, summer 42, 71 today. Dana Carvey is 71 today. Saturday Night Live. Dennis Haysbert from The Unit from 24. He is 72 today. And Jerry Mathers was the Beaver, 78 today. Stacey Keach has a birthday. He's 85 today. The first lady would have had a birthday today. Martha Washington. She passed away in 1902. And finally, Tony Hadley has a birthday today. 66. He's from Spandau Ballet. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly. And a pill on my tongue is all the nerves that have just begun. I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast. All right, let's make our way to your sports. And we've got highlights from the Tigers as... But they did everything they possibly could. I don't want to be a downer here. I don't. But they put together 10 runs. Again, had the lead very, very early and did everything they could to say, here you go. Go ahead and take it. It's your game. It's your game to win, Tampa Bay. As the Tigers used an offensive explosion last night and some clutch pitching late in the game to survive in their series opener against the Rays by a final score of 10-9. The Tigers had 5 runs at the plate for the first time since June 2nd of last year. That includes back-to-back-to-backs of the dinger variety for the Detroit Baseball Tigers. You know what? Let's get to the highlights for you. Let's start off this. We're going to start off in the early portions of the game as Riley Green had a 2-run double, puts the Tigers up 2-0.
Swinging a line drive. Fair one hop off the dirt past Aranda down the right field line. McGonigal around third. He will score. Coquit being waved around third. He's coming home. Dylan Dingler coming home. Third of the plate. Not in time. Dingler with a head first slide. Tigers take a 2-0 lead. Riley Green fired up at second base.
So then we jump to the third. All right, Tigers up 2-0. Dingler gets a dinger of the 2-run variety.
Fly ball left center field. Simpson, Mullins back and gone. Wow, did that ball carry. Dylan Dingler with number 12. 2-run shot and the Tigers take a 4-0 lead in the third. Wow, that's one of the deepest home runs we've seen hit here.
Carpenter gets a dinger. This is a solo dinger. This is in the third. I mean, next batter up makes it 5-0 in the third.
We're in the third. Fly ball right center field off the bat of Carpenter. Going back, Mesa looking up. Gone! Back to back! Carey Carpenter's second game back. Seventh home run. 5-0 Tigers in the third.
Green then gets a solo dinger in the third. We're up 6-0.
Fly ball center field deep. Going back, Mullins at the fence looking up. How about it? Gone!
Partner, you keep asking for it. You finally got one.
Riley Green. Cutter up. Didn't miss. Back to back to back. 6-0 Tigers.
All right, then you kind of hear the boos right there in Tampa. Tampa Bay's Junior Caminero, he got a two-run dinger, makes it 6-2. We go to the fifth, another Dingler dinger.
The 1-1 to Dylan Dingler, swinging a high fly ball center field. This one's deep. Going back is Mullins at the fence, looking up, and it's gone! Fourth home run of the night for the Tigers. Second of the night for Dylan Dingler. 13th of the year, makes it a 7-2 Tigers lead.
Hyu Lee in the sixth would have a solo dinger. I guess he makes up for the error later in the game, early in the game, with this solo dinger.
Fly ball right field. This one's deep. Going back, Mesa at the fence, and off the top of the fence, gone! Mark Ribbinger, first base umpire, indicates home run for Hyu Lee. Second career home run, fifth of the night for the Tigers. Back to a six-run lead, 8-2.
All right, so a little later on, the Rays would get a three-run dinger. They would make it 8-5. Dingler would get an RBI double in the eighth to, again, kind of get a little separation.
Dingler, fly ball, left center field. Could he do it again? This ball is one hop up against the deepest part of the ballpark's fence in left center. Dylan Dingler crushes a double to left center. Hyu Lee scores. Back to a four-run lead for the Tigers.
So we're 9-5 at that point. Carpenter would get an RBI double, makes it 10-5. Tampa would get a two-run double. We're at 10-7. And then in the waning moments of the game, again, we have 10 runs. It's 10-7. Tampa Bay would get two more on the board off of this two-run single.
3-2, ground ball to first, and off the glove of Torque into right field. Two more runs will score. Throw home, not in time to get Cortez, and we've got a 10-9 game.
There it is, 10-9, and that's where we would land at the buzzer.
Now a chance to close this out. The 1-2, swing and a miss. Got him! Tigers win! Oh, man. On a night when the Tigers' offense exploded, Will Vest comes through with the biggest pitching performance of the year. Works a 1-2-3 ninth after the Rays had closed to within one with him on the mound in the eighth.
So there it is. The Tigers tried to give it back to the Rays, but ended up holding it off and ended up with the win. Tigers and Rays, they're back at it tonight. Again, that's going to be a 6:15 broadcast on Fox Sports 101.9 FM, 6:40 for the first pitch. The experts who put together the sports books, they're saying Tampa Bay at minus 157. That's probably because we've got Jack Flaherty going to the mound. You never know what you're going to get, and this year it hasn't been great. Steven Matz will be on the bump for the Rays. Matchup predictor 64.6% in favor of the Tampa Bay Rays. ERAs, you got Flaherty is at 581, 467 for the Rays, so... Yeah, again, tune in. We'll have that contest for you. Yesterday, elsewhere around the league, it was the Marlins over the Nats, 7-3. Royals got a win. They beat the Reds, 9-2. Brewers over the Giants, 16-2. It was the Twins over the White Sox, 9-6. Rangers over the Cards, 2-1. Rockies got a 9-8 win over the Angels. Mariners beat the Mets, 3-2. And the Diamondbacks over the Dodgers, 4-1. So you take a look at the standings in the Central, and the Tigers being on and the Guardians being off means the Tigers did gain a half a game. They got a lot of work to do, but they did gain a half a game as they are 11 back right now in the basement of the AL Central. So you got the Guardians at 34-27, Sox at 32-28. Twins 28-33 in the third spot, six games back. Royals are 23-37, 10.5 back, and the Tigers are 11 games back at 23-38. Tigers
tonight. Okay. NBA Finals. They get back at it tomorrow. Knicks at Spurs. It'll be an 8:30 tip time. Stanley Cup Finals start tonight. The Golden Knights at the Hurricanes. 8 o'clock is when the puck drops. And the experts who put together the sports books, they're saying Carolina tonight at minus 155. And if you follow the predictors, I usually do. If you follow the predictors, we don't have one for the contest tonight. Golden Knights on the road, 19-14-8. Hurricanes at home are 29-10-3. High school soccer is in action tonight as the girls. We're going to Division IV as we have our only local teams left in the postseason for Division IV as we are looking at Division IV. Region 15, Manchester takes on Schoolcraft tonight. That's a 5 o'clock tip time. That's going to be at Lansing Christian High School. Manchester, 14-4-3. Schoolcraft, 12-2-2 on the season. Also tonight, Lumen will take on Plymouth Christian Academy at Lansing Christian High School. 7 o'clock kick time there. And the Titans on the season, they are 7-9-2, Plymouth Christian Academy 13-4-2. Again, 7 o'clock for kick time on that one with high school soccer, regional action, regional championship game set for Thursday if we have either of our local teams advancing. Jackson City Championship play resumes today in the round of 16. That's, I'm not sure what time tea time is on that one, but it's at the Country Club of Jackson. And really, a lot of notables still in this one, including Cody Leisher, Jacob Leland in there. You've got Nick Reynolds still part of it, and Andy Horodecki, Brian Kuhn among the lineup on this one. I know I'm going to be missing a few. Michael Bolt. A part of this one. Now, we're not going through the entire round of 16. Brad McEldowney, still in the mix. Mike Brocky in the mix there. Trevor Raymond. Mike Raymond. Greg Zeller. Brett Volkacek. They're all part of the round of 16, which is happening today. Country Club of Jackson in the Jackson City golf competition going on there. All right. It is 6:54 and a half sports this time around, courtesy of Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center.
Welcome to Kettlebell.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. It's a pleasure to have back in the studio with us today, Jenny Cronkite from Jackson Magazine. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. And you?
Oh, so well. That's so well. Awesome. Good to have you here.
Why,
and it's
thank you.
Good to have Jackson Magazine back and what we're talking about with all good news all the time.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's one of the best parts of our job is that we get to tell good stories and right. good stories only. And so there's no smut or little whatever flingings of stuff that right. we deal with. So I love it.
Yeah, highlighting all the good stuff happening in Jackson.
And 100%.
Do we want to say a little different take with this issue?
Walk me through it. Let's do it.
All right. So a little bit different take with this.
Sure.
Because it's all good news all the time, Jackson. Sure. But this one focused on everything outside of the city limits.
Yes. So there is a misconception that Jackson Magazine is meant to only highlight those things that are within the city, like the city limits, which isn't at all the case. We absolutely go outside of that. So what we did with this edition is we made a really concerted effort to kind of clump a bunch of really good news stories, if you will, that take place from places just outside the city limits. So we're going to see some stuff from Pleasant Lake and, you know, different places that take place around the county.
And you know me, I do like to follow like the political scene just a little bit.
Fair.
And I like to follow a lot of the stuff that happens locally because I feel like that impacts us more so than others.
But all politics are local.
And you reached out To some of the local supervisors.
Yes.
Tell absolutely. Us about that part of it.
Yeah. So what we did is we put out kind of a call for comment, a call for update, if you will, to the different supervisors throughout the Jackson area. And so so Matt Schwartzlander, the village manager of Brooklyn, and like we have the Concord village clerk and the village of Glass Lake, the township supervisor for Napoleon, a whole bunch of different communities. They give us a little update. And what we told them is doesn't have to necessarily be positive, but it should be stuff that's happening in the community. And you would probably want to make sure that it's good news. Don't get political. And so if you're going to talk about whatever in the thing, but you can talk about, you know, impacts of stuff, like that's completely fine.
Sure.
And we had some really wonderful ones that were submitted back. And I was excited we were able to fit all that were submitted back into the
piece. Right.
So that's on page 5, actually.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty early on.
Yeah.
And you talk to people who like to talk. And some of the responses are surprisingly short.
Well, two things that happened there. We gave them a word limit.
Okay.
It was a written request for quotes. It was not a verbal request for quote. It was a written request for quote. And then there was the smallest amount of trimming up on a couple of them.
Okay.
That had to happen to make it fit. But it was
editing.
The smallest word count way, yes, but not in a like change what's
been not said editing kind of content, just editing for presentation,
fact,
right?
Just down
yeah,
a little,
there you
yeah.
go. All right, let's talk about the cover.
Yes,
who's on the cover?
So Laura with Realities Chance. So Realities Chance Rescue is a sanctuary that is in Pleasant Lake, and when I say sanctuary, I mean horses. So the four-legged friends of the world, not dogs, horses. And she's an absolute kind of wonder. And her story goes that Laura, trying to think of the best way to describe it. So Laura is one of those amazing humans who has a huge amount of drive. She's going to be the best at everything that she does. And if you kind of think to like corporate world, Laura still today, even though she runs the sanctuary, also works in corporate. But back before the sanctuary started, she was working in corporate, and her partners were like, "Laura, I need you to stop, man. You need to get a hobby. You need to come up with something because like you're working so much, it's making us work more. And we're worried about you their friend. But come on, take a little bit of a break." So what happened there is Laura took some riding lessons, and she was kind of re-falling in love with horses, you know, getting some experience with them. And there was Reality, who is a horse, and there was a chance to adopt and take in him. And she was like, you know what, I might as well. I should do that. So she started to take care of this horse, and then as she went, she's doing such a wonderful job with the recuperation of the horse that other people were like, hey, if I put my horse kind of board them where you're boarding yours, could you also handle mine? And so she started kind of this program, and then eventually that launched into, okay, we can really make a go of this.
Yeah.
Let's launch a nonprofit to take care of the horses. So she did that. And it's of other things, it's one of the biggest Mustang horse rescues in the nation.
Really?
Yeah.
In the nation.
Yeah, in the nation.
See, I love the Jackson stories.
Yeah.
Especially when it's that large.
Yeah. And so kind of the what happened there is, I forget the number of horses, but specifically Mustangs. Like, they don't help just Mustangs, but there was a really, really large Mustang rescue, I think out west, that decided it needed to close, and it had all of these horses that needed to get some help. And a lot of those horses went through the Reality Chance rescue. And so that was able to make it so that they're one of the largest.
That's awesome.
Another one closed. And contrary to popular belief, every horse that comes to the sanctuary isn't necessarily permanently living there. Oftentimes the goal of the horses being there is so that they are recuperated to a point where they're gentled and that they're able to be handled by the horse people of the world. And so they get out and they get, like, I don't want to say adopted, but they're sold, you know, like to whoever it is that's going to be handling them. And then there's other horses that there's really no hope that they're going to get themselves adopted. And so they stay there at the sanctuary, and then they're called in sanctuary.
Yeah.
And they're just there for the duration of their natural lives. And so there's kind of this mix that you have with the horses. And it's really cool. When you get a chance to look at it, I know I kind of stole your copy, but there are some wonderful volunteers and some wonderful photography that you get to see. So like on page 10, you get to see some of the ways that they help like gentle the horses. So like you have a volunteer here on page 10. They kind of put them through a little bit of a obstacle course. So you have a...
The horses, not the volunteers.
Horses, right. The horse, the human, the volunteer is just leading the horse on the lead, right? But they have different obstacles that they put the horses through so that they can, it's kind of like a little training program, like a little Tough Mudder for the horses. And it is the coolest thing to watch. And it's just amazing to be able to see that. And there's an indoor arena and it's just kind of this smashing operation that... I mean, it's an outside the city sort of operation.
Well, and it's a success that's happening. Multiple successes happening here in Jackson.
Absolutely.
So that's really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Laura told us when we were there for the photo shoot that one of the ways that she'd understood that, hey, I had finally made it, is that somebody from a local university, I think it was Michigan State, had reached out for expertise about Mustangs. And they were like, you're asking me, and I don't, you know, like everybody has a bit of imposter syndrome. I don't want to speak for her, but that was kind of like the impression I got was, wow, okay. I mean, if you're asking me, we'll go with it. Cause I mean, we have a ton of experience, but all right. Yep. Let's do it. Will be your Mustang expert. And I thought that was great.
That is awesome. That is. Yeah. Now the whole issue isn't really focused on farm life. Like we said, it's kind of focused on things outside of Jackson. But we're going to skip ahead a little bit because Lowry's Little Flock Farms.
Yeah.
We make a trip there at least a couple times a year.
100%.
I love it. Love the llamas. Love the different other things that they have out there. It's a fun experience there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you're correct. We're not focusing exclusively on farm life. Mm-hmm. So, but there was a complete leap of faith that had to take place with Tawny and Kent when they decided that they were going to kind of really make a go of the Little Flock Farm.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I adore about them is this is one of those good side of COVID stories.
Okay.
So not exclusively, but I'm not going to say that's the only reason, but if you know, Tawny is a wonderful baker, and they also when COVID happened, there was this idea of like, I can sell some of the baked goods that we have in a little stand that goes by the road. And so they would put out a little table and they would sell some goods and things. And it started to like increase this like huge flood of traffic, and everybody always kind of wanted the next thing. And then they also figured out, you know, we have these llamas and what have you. And so like we can make some socks and we can sell some socks from our porch. And
there's socks are fabulous.
Yes.
They are fabulous.
Yes. Absolutely.
Not saying, I'm just saying.
That's what you want for Christmas. And so what's really nice, I think, about it is that it's one of those like right place, right time, the right amount of passion sort of stories that very much created this wonderful thing. And the number of people that love the Little Flock Farm, like the Lowry's Little Flock Farm, is just astronomical. Like it's, I think
it has so much character when you go.
It does. And what I really like about them is that they are both a for-profit and a nonprofit on site. So there are operations that they run that are very much education-based. There are things that they do are very much on, like, on that nonprofit side. And come on, guys, support them. Buy the socks. Buy the food. You know, like, do those things. Like, there's also, like, a for-profit side to kind of, like, keep it moving. And so all donations welcome all the time for them.
They did a thing last year or the year before. I don't know if this is a thing they do every year, but they do, like, a Young Entrepreneurs
event
out there. That is so cool, just seeing kids taking their passions and trying to turn it into business young. I mean, that's awesome.
Absolutely. And it's that sort of stuff that I think has really captured the heart of Jackson, and people just love them. Have you seen the little chapel out there that they have built? It is absolutely super tiny. Like, it is a small white chapel,
right?
And it's the cutest darn thing. I forget which Sundays, but not every Sunday, but how many ever Sundays they have some local pastors that come out and they do little services.
Oh, things. Cool.
They're Christian services, but yeah, it's kind of fun.
That is cool.
Fun little
Very
stuff.
Cool. All right. So there's that and there's more. And there's also Impact Awards.
Yes.
So we've been hearing you messaging about Impact Awards, which is replacing what has been kind of like a long time
30 and under and 40 and under. Right. So what we figured out with 30 and under and 40 and under, if you remember kind of the transitions that we've made, is that those awards are extremely loved once they're given. Mm-hmm. And they are, to be a little frank, not so supported beforehand. So so the awards, I mean, we're a for-profit. Like, the sponsorships, the advertising, all that stuff went down year after year. Was going down. So, like, there was a business choice that had to be made. Do we sunset it? Do we keep it? How do we re-energize it? What do we do?
Well, and it's not like you just flipped the switch on it.
No.
You really...
We really tried.
you know, Donovan and your team, I mean, you really tried to... to make this happen. You opened it up to...
The 40.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was one of those things that was like the event, like from a business perspective, business events have story, not arches. What's the word I want? They have like life cycles, like events do. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, okay, can we enhance this by like leaning into the feedback that we gotten from multiple people about, can't really support that because a lot of my staff are vets. We can't really support that because... our staff that we get, a lot of them are transplant or they're like second career folks. So like it doesn't help our folks. Mm-hmm. And we really tried to lean into that kind of feedback. And then there wasn't a bunch of new sponsors that floated the way and the whatever. And we're like, so anyway, that's all of those.
So a transition.
So there was a transition. Yes. So there's Impact Awards.
Okay. Tell us about that.
So what's different about the Impact Awards from the other awards that we do is that there's a lot of power that we're giving to the general community, to the readers, your listeners, anybody. So what's happening is that there's a number of different awards, and there's going to be one winner per category.
Okay.
So unlike some of our other awards where there's 10, 12, how many ever award winners that all fit within that category, there's going to be a distinct winner for each one of the award categories.
Okay.
And there is two different types of awards. There are awards that are going to be both sets do public nomination. Everybody can nominate. That's what we want people to do through June 15th. Go to the website, type in what you think, nominate someone. And then some of those awards are going to go to a small committee.
Okay.
That committee is going to pick their five top favorites. Mm-hmm. Then those top favorites are going to go out to community vote.
Okay.
So if you think Best of Jackson style, where everybody gets to vote, that is what it is. Best set of numbers is what's going to win.
Okay.
And then the other set of awards are going to be picked by a selection committee. There are just some things that you need to have a very curated group of individuals kind of come up with. And those are what those awards are for. So kind of depending on what the category is, there's a different way that those are going to be voted on.
Yeah.
And so come December, the idea is that we are working with some really intense partners, and we're trying to make sure that we enhance like nonprofits' abilities to make an impact in the community and kind of help them connect with some of the businesses that we have through the awards. So each one of the awards categories at the event in December, it's going to be a little bit like Best of Jackson, in that each one of those categories, there's going to be three different companies that or humans that are going to be up for that award. One is going to be announced as the winner.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the award winner that's going to be all over the magazine. So that's the winner of that category. And then the other two still are going to have gone through the same process. They're going to have an interview with a writer. They're going to have a photo shoot with our photographer. And then those are going to be used as like digital content to highlight them after the award winner. So like you have two kind of runner ups.
Yeah.
But have beat out this huge field.
So it's kind of like Best of Jackson. Only the difference is instead of a product or a service, you're talking talking about someone's work, individual's yes. work, yes. or organization's work that's Correct. Made a difference in our community.
Absolutely. And so there's things like the Young Professional of mm-hmm. the Year, the Innovative Volunteer of the Year. I mean, like there's all these different categories. Mm-hmm. And the point is that we're trying to ferret out all of the wonderful stories that the community loves yeah. so that we can be the best storytellers. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, in print, there's only so much space. I mean, that's one of the things we love about print. And that's one of the things that, you know, is a curse of print. So there's only so much space. So the winners of each of those categories are going to be the ones that are like featured in sure. the magazine. And then there's going to be all this digital content that nice. Goes along with all of the, okay. the runners up.
Okay. All right. And teachers, you're looking for nominations?
Yes.
Are we waiting for one kind of nominating period to end and then you open up another, or we have it all overlapping right now?
Everything, for the most part, mm-hmm. you can nominate year round.
Okay.
What you will see is that our team, we try not to overtake a news cycle with mm-hmm. something that isn't like super pressing.
Sure.
So the thing about top teachers is that we will do a larger push about top teacher nominations in the fall, because that's when the process really kicks off from okay. like a logistics end. However, now is when the average human is going to be thinking about how much they love their current teacher. Yeah. So it's the end of the school year. Some schools just ended, some end this week. And if you really liked your kid's right. school teacher this year, now is the time to go to the website and nominate them before you forget about all the reasons that your kid like grew this year and what have you. So like do that now mm. and then it works for the fall. So you could nominate them really anytime throughout the school year.
Gotcha.
But a lot of times now is when people are thinking of it. And then if you don't do it before Christmas, you know, before right. whatever, summer break, you're going to think of it at Christmas and go, oh yeah, I forgot to do that. And
no, but that's
late.
A really smart way to think about it, because yeah, you're feeling the impact of the school yep. year right now.
Absolutely.
But back to school, everybody's mind in the fall. So I yeah. get it, but yeah, it's yeah. kind of a weird cycle, but it totally makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So when you're thinking of it, you know, this is the like little like pro tip, mm-hmm. nominate them now, and then that will prime them for the, sure. the next top teacher okay. cycle.
How do people get a hold? I've been checking it out on my monitor. So there's the yes. electronic version of Jackson Magazine. How do people get a hold of Jackson Magazine?
So the easiest way is to give us a call, and then mm-hmm. We can get you on the subscribers list, and then it will just come to you. Or there are copies also available at our office, which is okay. on Shirley Drive.
All right, very good. Anything left untouched? We didn't get to all the articles.
No, we didn't.
We're going to let some of that dangle out there for people yes, to pick yes, up. But there's Irish Hills Collision was in yes, real quick.
I
just
was
real quick.
Say, that's who it was. It's Irish yeah. Hills Collision. We love them. It's mm-hmm. an amazing place.
All right, very good. Thanks, Jenny. As always, a yes, pleasure. Thanks thank for being you. Here. Jenny Cronkite, Jackson Magazine. You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
And we head back to our newsmaker line. It's a pleasure to have joining us once again, Representative Sarah Leitner. Representative, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we got, you know, we usually start, especially during the school year. We usually, whether it was football, whether it was basketball, whatever, we usually started with some sort of Springport sport. And
yeah.
We have a big game. We have a big, I'm not sure if our listening audience is aware of how big this contest is tomorrow, but it's Lumen versus Springport in high school baseball, first round of regional action tomorrow. That's a big game, Representative.
It is a big game. You know, we're super excited, you know, and of course, you know, the news reported that Springport stunned Lansing Catholic. You know, I don't think they expected to lose that game, but they did 4-3 in the first round of semi of districts.
Those weren't so, our words. We didn't use the word stunned.
We didn't use those words.
No, we didn't use
those
words.
But we are the mighty Spartans. So
yeah. And by the way, again, I'm not sure how much of our listening audience is aware. The only live local coverage of that contest is here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM tomorrow. I'm just saying.
Well,
just throwing it out
Jackson's
there.
Jackson's the place to be, I guess. Texas mm-hmm. County.
For sure. Absolutely.
We got a lot going on.
So have you, can I ask you, Representative, for your prediction?
Oh, it is, you know, it's going to be a good game, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, Lumen was, they've always been really good, but, you know, looking at some of the games they've played this year, I think if our Springport boys bring their A game tomorrow, I think it's going to be a good game, and it could be a good matchup.
So you're saying
I'm hoping to be victorious, but you never know.
A stunning victory for the Spartans.
I think they got the heart. Yeah.
All right, there it is. You heard it here first.
The district game was huge. It's the first time we've won a district title in 25 years.
Well, you're really gonna have to add to that pizza budget in Lansing.
Well, you know what? We already scaled it back. I'm like, nope, only state champions now. Although we did have over the weekend a state champion pole vaulter.
Yep, you did, Tucker. Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Tucker Riggington. So state champion. So I'm probably gonna have to have him come again. You know, he came with the football team and.
Oh, that'll be a much smaller pizza budget for Tucker. Okay. All right.
He could probably eat a whole one by himself, though.
That would be a high school kid for you. All right. Well, cool. Very cool. All right. So we'll have that contest tomorrow. Looks like, Selfridge was signed up in Mackinac last week.
It was. You know, we had to put that in a supplemental all by itself. So, you know, it was a single line item supplemental. And that's to get the project started. It did leverage federal funds. You know, President Trump did commit to, you know, Selfridge, expanding Selfridge. But having us get started with the supplemental this year puts us in a really, really good place in getting that started and having more jobs, having fighter jets built here in Michigan. So it's huge. It was a win for everybody, I would say, last week
was that,
on the island.
Was that unanimous, getting it to the governor's desk?
It wasn't unanimous, but it was pretty close.
Heavily bipartisan.
Very, okay. Super bipartisan.
Okay. All right, well, that's good to hear. So,
yeah.
And that, like you kind of mentioned and talked about, that's some things you have to support, even if it goes beyond the district. That's something that's going to really help the entire state.
Yeah, it's a huge economic impact on the state. And, you know, how cool is it that Michigan's producing fighter jets?
I know, right? Yeah. So, all right. So there's that. Anything else? Was there anything lingering, really, from Mackinac last week?
No, I mean, you know, the theme was, you know, basically working together type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the actual thing, but it was like working together. So it is a bipartisan conference.
Mm-hmm.
Our speaker did speak on the big stage for a few moments. And it's Quest for Common Ground was the theme.
Oh, that sounds fancy.
You know, lots of different meetings happen up there. It's actually very exhausting to go place to place and, you know, meet with all the different associations and organizations, entities, you know, because everybody goes for this one. Everybody.
Yeah. Everybody. That's a chilly ferry ride over, too.
It does blow my mind, though, that we're having the Detroit Policy Conference in the most expensive place in the state, though. You know, the money there I don't know. For something like that, I'm like, we could do the same thing in Detroit. It's like, okay, you want to highlight your city. Why don't you have your conference in your own city? But whatever. I don't know that I'll be going back. I'll just say that for the Detroit Policy Conference.
Mm-hmm. There it is. I know it's the thing that happens every year, and that's where they've always done it, I guess. So I know.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah. So we had that last week. You know, this week we just have a few things on the agenda. Because you know, the big focus obviously is the budget. Mm-hmm. There were lots of conversations last week around the budget.
Right.
You know, school aid, just the general omnibus, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so this is the time of year where it's very unpredictable,
yeah.
session days, but also, you know, where we don't have a ton of bills coming through. We do have, you know, a handful of bills. You know, like Kathy Smaltz has some bills, and I think she spoke on them a couple weeks ago when she actually put them through committee in regards to probate, some probate guardianship protections. So we will be voting on the full floor on that. We have, you know, I talked about the terrorism bill a couple weeks ago about increasing penalties for terrorism, and that'll be on the floor this week. And then there's, you know, sprinkled a few more bills here and there.
Okay. So there's that stuff coming to the floor. Is there any committee work this week? Focus on the budget this week? What's going on?
Yep. So judiciary is going to meet. And this week we are going to take up some bills in regards to PPO services, because it can be a barrier. The delivery of documents can be a barrier for some of the people who file a PPO. And so we are taking up some bills in regards to that. So, you know, people aren't afraid to actually get it filed and then have a process server serve that paperwork. But there's also some technical things in there that needed to be changed, because the fees actually for process serving are set in statute. And they have not been changed in years and years and years. And I will just tell you, anyone who owns a business knows that, you know, you have to pay about $15 an hour to get anyone to do a job right now. And that's literally, you know, all they can charge for a delivery fee for process serving, you know, and there's mileage, but, you know, there's also, you only get, you know, one round trip mileage, and it might take you three times to go there and serve someone. So, we are going to look at, upping those, the fees, the civil fees for all of those, services.
Yeah.
And like garnishments and, things of that nature.
You know,
you can't do it at a loss.
Right.
You know, right out of the gate.
And for the most part, when you're serving, when someone's getting served, I mean, it's not a big deal. You get your envelope, your piece of paper, your document and whatever. But sometimes it can be a little contentious. People don't understand to not take it out on the messenger, but it can be sometimes. So it's not the safest job in the world.
No. And, you know, there's certain court rules that they have to follow. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just one of those things that I get. People don't like increasing fees, but
right. This
is a matter of just operational operations that we have to address it. So we're looking at that, and then
is it hard getting people to serve right now?
It can be. Okay. I mean, you have people that evade service. I mean, right now they have been, you know, employing people, but without increasing costs are the fees that are, you know, legally charged, they literally can't do it.
Okay.
And, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to take an officer off the street to serve paperwork?
No.
I mean, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
That's a public safety issue. And so it's one of those issues that, like, I get it. I don't like raising fees either, but you just have to. You have to operationally, and it's in the best interest of the public to not take officers off the street to be serving PPOs when you can use process servers, you know,
right
out there right now.
Right.
So we're going to do that Wednesday. We also are going to hear some testimony in regards to, you know, changing up the penalties for assault on like healthcare workers, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. You know, doing their duties while they're performing their duty.
Right. Okay. All right. So it sounds like even though we're kind of in that time frame where things feel like they're slowing down a little bit, there's still quite a bit that's going to be happening this week.
Well, you know, there is. And, you know, in my committee, like, I still have a ton of bills. I would like to get through, you know, before summer, because I still get bills referred to my committee often. Like I said, I have over 200 bills sitting in my committee. And, I mean, we've gotten through a lot because we've met a lot. But, you know,
yeah.
I still have numerous bills out there, some of my own even, that I would like to get back to. So we're definitely having committee this week, definitely having it next week. But after next week, it's really up in the air and super unpredictable. So I, you know, it's kind of going to be a, I don't know, maybe on Monday I'll know if I can actually hold committee or if appropriations needs to meet.
So what's going on with the budget then? Is, you know, that's out of your hands right now. You're just kind of, what's...
It is out of my hands, yeah. But Wednesdays, I will just say Wednesday is my committee day,
uh-huh.
But it's also appropriations day. So that's the day the appropriations committee meets too. And so we have members that, you know, don't serve on policy. They serve on appropriations. But they might have policy bills and need to testify in committees, but obviously the budget takes precedent at this time over any of that. And so, you know, committees can generally meet, but it's, you know, it's got to be very flexible. You have to be very, very flexible and just kind of go with the flow. But, you know, Wednesday, like I said, is appropriations day. So kind of after next week, it's going to be more of a, well, I don't know, appropriations might have to go back in. You know, they might go meet at 9 o'clock for an hour and then go at ease and then come back in. So it's it gets to that point.
Okay. Well, you already predicted a shocking Springport win tomorrow.
I hope so.
Are you predicting that the budget will be buttoned up before July 1st?
Oh, my God. I hope so.
Okay.
I mean, I try to be optimistic, but, you know, you hear rumblings, but...
What are the rumblings?
Well, you know, it's just, you just hear people make comments, you know, well, we're trying, but, and I'm like, uh-oh, here's the big but, you know. But hopefully we have, you know, the framework and most of it buttoned up. You know, our schools need to know, too, and, you know, we're pretty confident in the school number, the base allowance, but we'll see. I mean, okay. It all changes. We have the property tax reform that, you know, the speaker is really, really wanting to get done with the budget, because obviously it goes hand in hand. When you're cutting, you know, revenue, you have to cut your budget too, right? So, because we're not into raising taxes. So
okay.
We will... we'll see. There's lots of conversations to be had in the coming weeks.
So, to be determined. We'll continue. We'll have the conversation every week until it's figured out. Like last year, we'll
oh yeah, it'll be like Groundhog's Day.
That's exactly what it'll be like. But there's always little movements here and there. There's always a little something, little flavor to add each week with it. So we'll look.
Oh
forward
yeah.
To
that.
Yeah. All right.
There's always something.
Anything else going on?
Well, you know, got a big graduation party coming up this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
I'm kind of hoping that it gets, you know, that Springport is victorious Wednesday, and I'm kind of hoping for a freakout on Saturday and playing Saturday.
Oh, is that the day of the graduation party? Is Saturday also?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to reschedule everything.
No, it's later in the day. It'll be fine.
Okay. All right. Oh, so you're just wanting the graduation party to have a little more oomph to it.
Yeah, there you gotcha. Go.
Okay, I like it. All right.
It'd be super exciting.
Representative Sarah Leitner joining us. As always, Representative, we appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, and have a great week. We'll talk with you soon, okay?
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye. Yeah.
That's Representative Sarah Leitner. This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. It's 8:49.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
At 9:36, 24 minutes now in front of 10 o'clock. And it's a pleasure to have joining us in the studio today. We have Deb joining us, and Deb comes our way from Westside Consignment Furniture of Jackson. Deb, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. So I've never been. And let's take this conversation from a perspective of our listener who's never been. What is Westside Consignment of Jackson?
Well, Westside Furniture specializes in upscale, nearly new furniture, home decor, geared to the buyer who appreciates quality furnishings, but not high prices.
Well, yeah.
So
nobody likes high prices.
No. So we're always changing, and we always have different new things, and practically like a lot of traditional, transitional, contemporary, industrial, farmhouse, cottage, home furnishings, home decor, of everything you could possibly imagine.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like it's a variety.
Correct.
But it sounds like it's not, it sounds like it's not typically what you get from like a secondhand type of thing.
No.
We're talking about quality, right?
Correct. Yeah. So like I said, most of our furniture is gently used, hardly used, brand new at times. And it could be Ethan Allen or Restoration Hardware, our house products. We carry a lot of vintage and mid-century also in both of our stores. Other stores located at 283 South Zeeb Road in Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm.
Our store is located at 1511 West Morrell Street in Jackson on the corner of Brown and Morrell.
Okay. And what are your hours?
Our hours are Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6 in Jackson, and our hours in Ann Arbor are Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6 and noon to 5 on Sunday.
Okay. So your typical shopper, are they usually somebody who is coming into the store and they're looking for like a specific type of style? They're looking for something to accent however it is they have their living place decorated, or what is it like your typical customer like?
We get so many different types of people, not only our local community people, but outside of everywhere through Michigan, actually, and sometimes even other states, in Illinois, Indiana, Chicago, Ohio. And yes, a lot of times they have specific needs.
Yeah.
And what's great about our store is that we have different styles of different eras. So
it's not just a vintage. It's not like you're walking into an antique store.
No, that we have everything you can think of all different eras. So that makes it even more fun because they get and they look and they find what they want.
Yeah.
A lot of our people won't go anywhere else first but our store because they know that we have very good quality items, but different too.
Yeah.
Very unique things.
Right. Now, how do you approach it? Someone comes in and say, you know, I like this, but it's not quite the style I'm looking for. I'm looking for something more with a higher back, or maybe more of a velour finish, or you know, whatever people are, more of a wood finish. What if someone comes in, they don't have exactly what they want? Are you able to look and find it?
Well, sometimes I'll take names and numbers, and a lot of times when we search or people come to us with their items, you never know, because sometimes that does happen. But also with our Ann Arbor store being 10,000 square foot, a lot of times we just push the people going that way.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times they'll find it because it's an amazing store too.
Okay.
And it's got everything and everything you could possibly imagine.
Right.
So a lot of times we can help them. Yes.
Sure.
Sure.
So Deb's joining us here from Westside Consignment Furniture of Jackson. You've been there how long now, Deb?
A long time.
Okay. Just a few years.
Yeah, it's a few years.
What's the favorite part of your job?
Is the people.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with so many different scenarios, such as a person might have lost their loved one, or they're downsizing, or they're moving. So we're able to cater to them and every need that they need, as far as, you know, helping them, what they want to get rid of, you know, being able to price them. We do all the research. Our specialist agents research everything you could possibly imagine. Sometimes I have to go out there and look at everything. There might be a whole house full of things. So we decide to be able to tell them what we think we could do for them.
And yeah.
They're very happy with it. We even go get it. We have beautiful box trucks. We have guys that will go to the home, take everything, put it on the truck, and bring it into the store.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when we start defining it, where we look it up, figure out what it's worth.
Right.
Well,
you got to have an idea before you even put it in the truck.
Pricing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have a system to do that.
Okay.
We follow that. It does pretty well, so we do pretty good.
All right. Now, what's your style? What do you...
Oh, I love the vintage mid-century era.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of grew up with it.
So you like the 50s kind of look?
I like more of, not the retro.
Okay.
That would be your retro between 50s and 60s, but more of the late 60s, 70s.
Gotcha. Okay.
More Scandinavian.
Uh-huh.
Teak.
Right.
Walnut pieces.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, because the real estate stuff that my wife and I do in the afternoon when we get to go into homes that were well loved, well taken care of, right? And you don't see, you see a completely functional kitchen or bathroom and living room that hasn't been updated in several years, but everything still works and looks beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
I absolutely love it. I love when I walk into a bathroom and I see that beautiful pink or that baby blue.
With the baby blue.
I love it. We were just in a home where I saw textured carpet. And you know, I know,
a long time.
I know. And and the furniture, which was and it was, I said velour earlier because that made me think of it. It was, I don't know if it's actually velour, but you know, it's got that soft feel. You can play tic-tac-toe on it if you wanted to with your finger.
I just had a sofa come in that was just gorgeous. It was a velour mid-century modern piece made by Burn Furniture from the early 70s, and I sold it within a week.
You don't find that stuff anymore. You just don't.
It just comes to you sometimes, and you're just so blessed because it's like, and the condition is like, did you ever sit in it?
You know,
I mean, the condition at times is just unbelievable.
It was comfortable. They don't make furniture like that. And they just don't.
Well, stuff they that was do. Made then. They copy it, but it's not the real deal, sort of
it
speak.
Does, it's not. Furniture made today, not built to last like it was then.
It's not.
It just isn't. Mm-mm. So, but I love it. I love
that. That's why we're so popular is because we have those pieces from those, especially those eras. Actually, in their Jackson store, we sell a lot of vintage furniture of all kinds, different styles, woods, beautiful pieces, and treasures. They're really, you know, real treasures.
What's the piece that's come in recently that you're like, oh man, that is fabulous? What's one
there
that like
so many of them? I like the atomic end tables.
Atomic end tables.
They're
what does
like
that mean?
Really long and they're mid-century, but they have a cross like look on the sides of solid wood. It could be walnut or teak.
Gotcha. Okay.
With a slate kind of like top.
Mm-hmm.
They are just really cool.
Okay.
And they can go anywhere online between $500 and $600, but at our store it's $200.
Okay.
And really, really good condition.
Now, do you do accents? Do you have accents for the room
we
also?
We have all kinds of accents from all over the world. A lot of our consigners have traveled different areas of the world, and a lot of times they'll go into galleries and bring some artwork home from Europe or Switzerland or wherever. And a lot of times, you know, that sometimes it just goes, and maybe someone had passed away or there's a time that they want to downsize, and we'll get those beautiful pieces of artwork or accessories and very unique things.
Deb from Westside Consignment Furniture of Jackson in the studio with us. One of the things I'm always looking for, I remember it in my grandparents' cottage. They had a spot up in East Tawas. It was on a place called
Area.
And they had in their cottage, and it like bookend what they called their Davenport. It was these yellow and orange, I want to say like glass vases, but they were super tall. They were wide on the bottom, super skinny up towards the top, and they had kind of like a lip at the top of them.
Something sounds like French.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like, it's like this blown glass, stained glass kind of thing. You just don't see stuff like that anymore.
No, well, you know, I'm fascinated with Italian pottery, Polish pottery, Murano glass.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we've had like dining room sets that were hand-blown Murano glass tops.
Okay.
It's a huge difference compared to American glass.
Okay.
It's, of course, much more expensive, but it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
You can like see yourself when you look at it into the glass, but it's all hand-blown.
Yeah.
It's just breathtaking, and our prices are very reasonable. Something like that in maybe a oval with maybe four chairs or possibly six would run maybe $1,500 when you're looking at maybe it could have been $20,000.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know you and I, because we love it, we're kind of leaning into that retro kind of look a little bit, but it's not just that. You, like you said earlier, you've got all styles, all varieties, all name brands.
And we carry Amish furniture.
Yeah. What's that?
We carry Amish furniture.
Amish, okay.
And it's interesting because Amish come in our stores a lot down in Jackson.
Really?
And, well, their association, they're not allowed to get, like, discounts. So they have to pay the same price the customers do.
Uh-huh.
So we get a lot of the Amish people a lot of Amish.
Well, I think the Amish would make their own.
And it's a lot cheaper for them, of course.
But I would think the Amish would make their own Amish furniture. But they don't. Okay. No, that's neat.
It is neat because you get to know them well. Yeah. And then they bring their kids in and they get the whole family and another family are together. And it's just really nice. It's just really pleasant.
Sure. Okay. Deb, again, from Westside Consignment Furniture in the studio with us. So you've got a 30. I gave you a big upgrade. You've got a 3,000 square foot facility here in Jackson. What's it like when you get new pieces in? You're like, all right, I get to restage. Is that a challenge?
Oh, no,
do you embrace
fun.
It?
That's
is
the
it?
Best part.
Yeah?
Yeah. My crew, we work together really well. And we just learn. They learn. And we just, if it's something mid-century, you know, you could put some other vintage pieces with it. Mm-hmm. You can attract walnut with teak. And so forth, and you get something retro. It's a little bit different, but it's fun putting things together and showcasing. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. If people want to learn more, they can just stop in or give you a call, yep. Check you out on Facebook. You have all the social media spots.
Yep.
Website
yep.
too.
We have a website is wfce.net. You can go to that website and see everything from Ann Arbor store and the Jackson store. Not a ton of accessories on the website, but it's always nice to just go into the store and look at everything because sometimes you can walk through and you got to walk through again and again because you miss so much because there's so much to look at.
Right. What is it that you just don't find anymore or they don't make anymore? Let me just go. That they don't make anymore that people just love when they see
it. Well, actually what's coming back are the stereo cabinets.
Love stereo cabinets. I do.
And I haven't had one for a minute.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay, I'm ready for a new one of these.
Yeah.
Because they sell like that. And they're so much fun.
Yeah.
They're really beautiful cabinets. They're solid wood. It could be Hendredon. It could be, you know, what is it? What was a RCA?
There's RCA, Zenith.
Zenith.
I'm looking for, because Spartan was made here in Jackson, so I'm looking for a Spartan one. Always
so
have my out for a Spartan
that
one.
That would be a very unique one to look for.
I don't know if Spartan made the consoles, but I know they made a ton of radios.
Right. So something like that is like, I'm hopeful and wishing we get another one in soon because they're so much fun. And you wouldn't believe the condition.
But they're making those again?
No, they're popular.
Right, yeah.
Again, and I haven't seen anything like updated or anything anywhere to like copied it or something.
I've had a couple of them
out for sale.
I've had a couple of them over the years.
Really?
And then, And
oh, well, we grew up with one.
Yeah.
It ran all the time, Beatles and... Elvis, my mother was an Elvis freak, so we're all house cleaning. The music's playing, so those are great pieces of furniture.
Do you get console TVs ever?
We do take some TVs.
I mean, because everything's flat screen now, so it really has to be a retro niche.
We do get some, but not a whole lot. But they do sell a lot. We do get a lot of Amazon products that are brand new.
Okay,
we contracted with one of the team members of Amazon.
Sure,
probably gets pallets and then. They bring all that stuff in and like brand new everything, which a lot of times our pricing is about 30% cheaper than you're going to pay online for it.
Yeah.
And those go everything you can think of under the sun, even some furniture. So lamps and pots and pans and just all kinds of different products. And that goes pretty well too. So,
Okay. So stuff for the kitchen because we're talking about furniture. Yeah, we're leaning into the retro part of it. And I want to emphasize, it's not just that. You're across the board.
Right.
At,
we carry
West
so many
side.
Different name brands of furniture. Hendredon, Century, Ethan Allen, Broyhill, Bassett. Everything you can think of that's American made too. So a lot of times what people don't understand is when you're dealing with, you know, like Century or Hendredon, you know, any of those furniture companies down south, most of it's in the Carolinas, you get to customize your fabrics and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And that's what makes it a lot more expensive, too, because you can pick fabrics from Europe if you want to.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we could be looking at a $15,000 sofa, but we're selling it for maybe $1,500, $1,600, $1,700.
Oh, wow.
Immaculate, never has been touched. So that's what's fun about it.
Right.
People will come in the store and like, wow, where'd you get this one? I had a sofa that came in from Italy not too long ago. They called it the flirt sofa. It was red.
Okay.
It looked like lips, the way it was. It was like big red lips.
I think flirt is being kind, but I understand what you're saying.
But when I read the information about it, I'm like, this is all hand done. It's all dried kiln, double framed, chrome legs, and a big set of red lips you're sitting on, which ran about $4,500, and then you got to ship it to America.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what that cost. And it came in our store, but we sold it.
I'm sure you did.
And it was
sold
just,
it quickly, I'm
it
sure.
It was just like the talk of the town there for about a week.
Yeah.
So
oh, that's cool.
I got to come in and see the flirt sofa.
That is
it
awesome.
It was fun, yeah.
You got to get another one of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Another one of those.
It was fun.
All right. So again, find you guys online, find you on Facebook, but just walk into the store, Dub, at Westside Consignment
it
Furniture.
It would be 1511 West Morrell Street, right next to Rocky Sierra Salon, corner of Brown and Morrell, right across from Huntington Bank.
Okay.
And again, our hours are Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6.
All right.
A lot of times, too, if people are interested in wanting to downsize or they have furniture to get rid of, they don't know how to, we can help assist in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can go see them in their home. There is a slight fee to do that, be able to, you know, curate what we think we should could sell for them and what, you know, and so forth. There is a contract, and we can go through all that at the store. And, you know, a lot of our customers already know that when they walk in, consignment means that the price drops 10-15% or, you know, for a couple of months. And then sometimes they might wait for that percentage. If it's like 10 days away, I'm going to give it to them anyway. I mean, you know, we're binding to the contract with that time limit frame. So we try to stick with that. But they can come and see us anytime between Monday and Friday. If they need any help with anything, we're glad to help them
sure.
no matter what they need.
For sure. And you're looking for stuff that's been loved.
Well, yeah. I mean, we deal with even purses, women's wear, scarves from all over
really?
The world,
okay.
coach purses, you name it. We, you know, things are in mint condition. We're going to sell it. And we do sell that for them. So
cool.
It is fun. Lots of jewelry from all over the world. It's a lot of Museum of Arts jewelry.
Yeah.
It's just amazing pieces of jewelry that we just
sounds like it'd be fun.
Find
just,
this.
Yeah.
I mean, they could come from Egypt and you know, Israel and all over the world. They're just beautiful pieces of jewelry.
Sounds like it'd be fun just to come in and walk around.
It is. People do that, too. They just sometimes do come in and walk around.
Cool. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, Deb, this has been a lot of fun.
Yes,
thank you
so
much for coming in today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Deb, again, from Westside Consignment Furniture of Jackson. Find them on Facebook. Find them online. This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.